It's a pleasure to be with you, and it's a pleasure to announce that coming up in a few moments, we've got Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer here. And let me do a little bit of setup for what you're about to hear. And I have no idea what you're about to hear, folks, as usual on Coast to Coast AM. I just sort of cruise along here, and I really don't know what you're going to hear. Here's what set off the quest to get Dr. Greer on. And it was a recent Exopolitics conference, and here's a quote, a supposed, alleged quote of Dr. Greer. Quote, "We have confirmation, and I'm not going to give the name yet because we're trying to coax this guy out of the closet, but one of the senior people in the SETI project, which of course is the Carl Sagan search for extraterrestrial project, has confirmed to the Disclosure Project that they have received multiple extraterrestrial signals," end quote. Greer then goes on, but that now they are getting external, human, probably NRO or NSA jamming of those signals, and they're getting very frustrated. Greer continued, quote, "The question is, why hasn't the SETI project, funded by Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, come forward with this information? I'm a little confused even mentioning this, except for the fact the public needs to know that this effort, which has received a great deal of mainstream media attention, has actually been confirmed to us from two inside sources that they indeed have received extraterrestrial signals and have confirmed them as being extraterrestrial, and that they have become increasing in frequency and number." Dr. Stephen Greer is head of the Disclosure Project, and on it goes. But obviously, that went off like a bomb in my head. Dr. Stephen Greer is founder and CEO of Space Energy Access Systems, also the founder and director of the Disclosure Project. He's been a guest here for many years. He is an emergency physician, former chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Caldwell Memorial Hospital. Dr. Greer is a lifetime member of Alpha Omega Alpha, the nation's most prestigious medical honor society. He has appeared on several national programs, including Larry King, CBS, BBC, NTV in Japan. Dr. Greer has been supervising a worldwide search for alternative energy sources, specifically known as zero-point or over-unity devices, with a plan to identify and develop systems which eliminate the need for fossil fuels. And obviously, any sort of extraterrestrial propulsion system that we could ever get our hands on would probably, in all likelihood, contain such an energy source. So this went off like a bomb in my head. Been trying to get Dr. Greer, and I confirm for you now that, in fact, he is here tonight. In a moment, we'll find out if what he said, if these quotes were indeed his. We'll be right back. Just one additional comment before bringing Dr. Greer on. I had a listener, Paul, wherever you are, thank you, who wrote to SETI asking exactly this question. SETI responded to Paul, "No SETI program has detected an extraterrestrial signal. If anyone had, it would be made known to the public in accordance with the Declaration of Principles concerning activities following the detection of extraterrestrial intelligence, which was developed over a period of years by the SETI Committee of the International Academy of Astronautics with the assistance of many experts interested in this question." And with that response in mind from SETI, here is Dr. Greer. Dr. Greer, welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's been 2 weeks in the waiting. I guess your car broke down last week.
Oh, it was all kinds of things. And I was lucky to get back out here today. I was in Washington meeting with people up on Capitol Hill. I'm very happy to answer your questions. And I can confirm that those quotes you read at the opening segment are correct.
They are correct? Well, that's a bombshell. I mean, that's nothing short of a total bombshell.
You know, we have been sort of hinting at this for a number of years. I just had a new book that we released a couple months ago called Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge. And I recount in there years ago a man who is on our team who worked at NASA Ames Research Center, where the SETI project for a while had been centered. And he worked down the hall from those folks and at one point went over to one of the very senior scientists there and said, "What would you say if I told you that you people already know that we are being visited by extraterrestrial civilizations and they have landed on terra firma and that the SETI project is really a big smokescreen to make it look like you're looking for something that you know is already here. And this senior scientist with SETI winked at him and said, well, I would say that you're a very smart man. So that was my first hint that something was not quite right with the way that project was being conducted.
Holy smokes. So a wink and a nod, and I'd say you're a very smart man. Well, that's obviously a confirmation.
Yeah, it was a confirmation that they knew that, and this particular person. Subsequent to that, one of the founders of the SETI project and I spoke, and this man, who I do not want to name at this point, but who would be a household name amongst anyone who follows this, told me that he would lose his career, and I'm quoting, if it was known that he was even having a conversation about this matter with me. Subsequent to that, there was a man who was once the editor of Astronomy Magazine and Sky and Telescope Magazine, who was one of our witnesses for the briefings we did. You remember, Art, back in 97 for members of Congress.
Of course.
And this man, along with some of these other military men, stood up, and this particular astronomer said that he had been present at a SETI facility when an extraterrestrial signal came in. He was ushered out. The place was sealed. He testified about this with members of Congress in the audience, including the chairman of one of the powerful committees, Congressman Dan Burton. And subsequent to that, he began to be blackballed and blacklisted from different assignments and jobs. And so he has stopped coming forward to discuss that particular event. But the most astonishing thing was that a senior member of our research group who is an astronomer and used to run one of the big telescope programs and back years ago had been involved with Carl Sagan and looking for other planets around other star systems, was talking to one of the very senior inside people at SETI who, again, told him that in the last few years they have had numerous extraterrestrial signals using some type of technique that was not disclosed to him or to me, but that the signals were so numerous that they then began to have their system externally jammed by some sort of human agency that did not want them to continue receiving those signals. Now,
this person,
if I were to say who he is, almost every one of your listeners would probably know the name. So these are people we're trying to negotiate them coming forward at some point publicly with this. We have had inquiries by I think the current president of SETI, Seth Shostak, who has denied, of course, that they have ever detected anything. I don't know if he's prevaricating or if he simply is out of the loop. But
that was going to be one of my questions. I frequently, as you know, I've interviewed Seth, and here's what he's always said, Doctor. He said, look, even if for some reason we decided we wanted to hide this, we would be unable to do so because of the Internet, because of the connectivity, because of the fact that our scientists are working on this full-time. They want nothing more than to receive contact. Word would flash out on the Internet virtually instantly, and I think I'm carefully quoting what he said.
Right. He has said the same thing to us, and of course, I simply don't buy it because I know that any organization that wishes to have an effort that is publicly known and a parallel effort that is more tightly held can do so. And compartmentalization is the name of the game, and I certainly think it must apply to the SETI project. The reason this comment that you're referring to is when I was with the Honorable Paul Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense from Canada, and he and I were doing a press briefing up in Toronto in May. And he and I had been discussing this, and I disclosed to him the details of this particular disclosure from a senior SETI source. And I felt that it was important for people to understand that there are very serious and mainstream astrophysicists and astronomers and scientists who now three separate confirmations, the one that happened years ago in the 90s to a member of my team who's a NASA researcher at Ames, this astronomer who disclosed what he had found to these members of Congress in 97, and then most recently the senior scientist who disclosed this to us. So I can't believe that these three independent and corroborative, these are all separate and corroborating sources, would be simply making this up. And these are not low-level munchkins, as they used to say, or people peripheral at all to that effort to search for intelligent signals in space.
Okay, well, anybody lesser than yourself, and I'd be cringing right now, but, I mean, this is just bombshell news. And here's something else I would like to know. Now, this made it to print, Doctor, and was this a comment that you made in public to this man so that it made it into print, or did somebody just happen to overhear this conversation, or how did it get to print?
No, what you read at the opening of the show actually did appear on our website, disclosureproject.org, as a result of my verbal comments at the press briefing with the former Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer, in Canada in May of 2006, a couple of months ago.
Well, excuse me, but how would something of this magnitude just go sailing on by the mainstream press?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I think the mainstream media is neither free nor all that much of a check and balance on the what they used to call the fourth estate that we think it is. And you know, you and I have talked about this before, but my experience with the very large and mainstream media is that they have been ordered to pull stories many times and have done so. And by the way, I don't know, I don't think I've spoken with you, Art, since we put this up on our website. I have a CIA document that was given to us that is an authentic, declassified document that on page 6 of it states that the CIA has assets within all the major wire services and news media and networks to change or alter stories when they need to, and that that has been very successful. This is a 1991 document during the first Bush presidency. So, and I have personally been on the inside of newsrooms at ABC News and elsewhere when I have seen stories either killed or altered to water them down. So the fact that the, quote, mainstream media or big media doesn't cover or dig into this does not surprise me at this point. It would have surprised me maybe 15 years ago, but at this point I would say that that's the rule rather than the exception, unfortunately.
Okay, Doctor, I want to ask you about the CIA document. Now, that's another bombshell. Is there any way that you feel you can make this document public? You said on page 6.
It is on our website, disclosureproject.org. Anyone who wants to get on that website can see it. And by the way, I understand this document went got reclassified after it was given handed off to us, but it was a declassified document when I obtained it, and we have put it on our website.
Does it? I haven't read it yet, Doctor. Does it list any of the criterion for changing or deleting a story entirely?
No, it just mentions that when needed, that that has been a program that has worked very well and has been successful. It specifically states that in the document.
Oh, God. That crosses
so,
so many
so
lines.
In other words,
I don't even know how to respond to it.
Yeah, these ideas that people have about the corruption of the media and the complete wholesale destruction of our democracy and the freedom of the press is not a theory. This document very well establishes that that's the case.
Oh, my God. This is, it crosses so many lines, Doctor. In fact, both of these stories, the fact that there has been contact. Can you tell me anything at all? Was anything disclosed to you about the nature of the contact? So many questions.
Yes. It was confirmed to me that these were definitely extraterrestrial. They were intelligent signals. They were apparently were searching in a spectrum or in an area, I don't know the technical information, but that they apparently hit the mother lode and they were receiving so many signals that somebody watching the SETI project receiving these signals then began to externally jam their receiving capabilities. And I know that can happen because, as you well know, 5 years ago in 2001 when we did the Disclosure Project event out of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., the entire first hour of that was externally jammed by some intelligence operation, and the president of Connect Live that hosts all news going out of the National Press Club confirmed to us that the first hour of our event was externally electronically jammed through electronic warfare means of some type.
Well, it absolutely can be done, and even signals being externally received with the satellite capability we have, can be blanketly, if that's a word, they can just blanket the frequencies so that you cannot hear a thing.
Correct. That's right.
So, again, with regard to the nature of the communication, do you happen to know if I mean, they say it was intelligent. That's discerning one thing. But were they actually able to, do you know, decode or make sense of what was being sent?
That level of detail I do not know. And all I do know is that it was confirmed as extraterrestrial and that it was not just an isolated event, but they had a plethora of them and that they were so numerous. That's when they began to have the external interference with the system that they were using.
All I can tell you is that when I have the opportunity to interview people from SETI, they sound very sincere when they make the claim that there's really no way, the way it's set up, because they would need confirmation from other radio telescopes and other people prior to the ability to announcing anything.
Right.
And I, frankly, I'm like you. I've always questioned very carefully this whole concept that it would immediately be made public. One would think it would be such a national security issue that there's no way in hell it would be made public. That's always been my position.
No, they're not, and there are filters in place. And you have to remember also that even figures like Carl Sagan, you know, one of his best friends is a friend of mine and is on our team, and he said that he remembered to the day when Carl Sagan was turned as an asset of this covert group trying to keep this stuff secret and became sort of an official debunker of all things ufological and what have you, even though in his early career he said that there was something to it. And I think that, you know, the ability for these particular interests to corrupt efforts, whether they be private or governmental, is well documented and is not theoretical. And I think in this case, what I would like to see happen are other scientists who have been in whatever compartmented operation has detected these signals come forward publicly. Now,
boy, no kidding.
That's difficult, but I'm asking for that. And I know that when I discussed this with the former Minister of Defense in Canada, Paul Hellyer, he also would like to see that happen.
There's one other way we can approach this, Doctor, and that would be to have some idea of the frequency range that they were dealing with. Now, traditionally, they have looked near hydrogen. That's been sort of a marker frequency where they thought perhaps they would get a signal because it's kind of universal. So if we had any idea of what frequency range they were listening to when they got these multiple signals, there are a number of amateurs who are able to listen to those frequencies, and we could get a private effort going as well. So do you have any idea of the frequencies that might have been involved?
I do not. And I have to also say that my own sense of this, and this is from what I've heard from other scientists, and it really goes beyond most people's capabilities, is that there are ways to modulate and pulse electromagnetic signals that are not in the normal electromagnetic spectrum, that involves sensing and detection systems. And of course, this crosses over into the whole area of very advanced physics dealing with what some people have called longitudinal electromagnetic signals, or so-called scalar, I think that's a misnomer, signals. But I'm not so sure that it's the conventional system that picked these up, although I do not know what the spectrum was or what the frequency was that was involved in this particular barrage, apparently, of...
Barrage. All right. Did they indicate to you that it was other than the normal electromagnetic spectrum? Did they nod and wink and suggest that?
No, that was not hinted at. It was just that there were many of these, and you know, it was interesting in the context, the way this was said, the scientists saying this, you could feel this sort of bottled up how much he wished the world knew what he knew.
Right.
And you know, I've encountered this hundreds and hundreds of times. We're now well up around 500 military and intelligence and corporate witnesses to these things, including, I might add, a 3-star Air Force general that I have met with who's retired. And many of these people You can sense in their voice how much they wish they could let the world know the truth and what they
found. All right. Dr. Greer, hold tight for a moment. We're at the bottom of the hour. So I think the headline here is, confirmed, three separate sources in SETI confirm multiple extraterrestrial signals have been received. We've been receiving messages from out there. Three separate sources in SETI. You heard it from Dr. Greer from the Philippines, Manila in the Philippines. I'm Art Bell. Well, it certainly is not a story that I expected to be breaking this early in my broadcast from Manila, but my guest is Dr. Stephen Greer. He is an emergency room physician. He's got a very great deal of credibility, and in a way, this will be a very good test of what he just talked about, the 91 CIA document. I think he said it was page 6 that claimed they had control of the major news media. Every big newsroom in America, that kind of thing, had CIA operatives, that sort of thing, in the newsrooms. This is just a wonderful test of that, because in my way of thinking, here we are on a full, well, greater than national program, really, and a multinational program, and we've got a very credible man, Dr. Stephen Greer, saying he's got three separate sources in the SETI program that claim they have received not just a signal, but multiple signals, a barrage, if you will, of extraterrestrial signals. Now, if this does not hit the major news media in America almost right away, then something's rotten in Denmark. And I think we're heard in Denmark as well. Anyway, it's a wonderful test of all this. Dr. Greer, back in a moment. Once again, Dr. Stephen Greer. Dr. Greer, Andreas from New Haven, Connecticut, writes the following. Dear Art, Dr. Greer just made some very serious allegations with regard to Carl Sagan. Please don't let it go by. Sagan was corrupted? Come on, that's too much. You have to defend him. Well, Andreas, I don't know that I have to defend anybody, but I will pursue it a little bit. Doctor, it is hard news for a lot of people that Dr. Sagan was, in a sense, corrupted.
Well, I'm simply sharing what has been very directly relayed to us by one of his close friends and associates, and that, you know, there was a reason why Carl Sagan at one point was open to looking into UFO events as a possible expression of extraterrestrial involvement, and then became one of the best known debunkers of all things ufological, writing even in Parade magazine and things like this that were very, you know, mainstream of big publications to that effect. And it isn't because there's not enough evidence. As J. Allen Hynek said, there's an embarrassment of riches. There's so much evidence and there's so much data. And you have to ask the question, why would someone of that stature who wanted to find life in the universe go around eventually becoming a debunker of facts and cases that indicated that humans and the Earth were already being visited?
Yeah, he certainly did go through a very, very large change. I think we all know that. Corrupted is a strong word, but perhaps it does apply.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it happens far too often. You know, I'm working right now with a man who for years worked with General Motors, and you may have heard that there's a movie out that's just been released, a documentary called Who Murdered the Electric Car, or something to that effect. And this man was the headed up the 30 engineers that worked on that, and he has told me the story of how all types of extraordinary energy and propulsion systems had been corrupted, had been suppressed. And I've maintained for years, and you know, this is our legal position, is that the entity or entities dealing with these issues and keeping these sort of things secret is the world's largest RICO, racketeering influence corrupt organization.
Another question from a listener. Why would they declassify the CIA document you talked about only to reclassify it? Is that some sort of disinformation trick?
No, because, you know, there have been a number, if you've been following the news on this, there are a number of documents and information that at one point had been released that in the last 5 or 6 years has been reclassified and sequestered This has been reported in mainstream media, by the way. And this particular document, I am just told that that's what's happened to it. I don't know that that's the case. Someone could do a FOIA request and find out. I do know that we have the document, and it's quite clear that it describes this agency, a CIA program, where they could successfully alter and delay, change, et cetera, news stories. And it listed, the major networks. It didn't list them by name. It said the major networks, news magazines, wire services, et cetera.
Well, I could, for example, Doctor, understand why some stories, as they might relate, for example, to a war we're involved in, information that might jeopardize our troops or something of that nature,
sure,
might be stopped before it hit air. But beyond that, I cannot imagine it.
Well, because in this case, the information about the fact that we have extraterrestrial civilizations visiting Earth, that we've been studying this for 60 years at least, and that we have developed the energy and propulsion systems behind them, we don't need to have ET land and give it to us. We have them, and they're sitting at in Lockheed, and Northrop Grumman and other corporations have them, and we have witnesses to this effect. And that story, of course, would make obsolete the need to use the $200 trillion asset base known as gas and oil and coal that's proven to be sitting in the ground. Remember, somebody or some bodies and corporations and entities owned that $200 trillion asset base. And bringing this information out isn't just about, well, are we alone in the universe? It's also about who's running planet Earth, what's the agenda behind it, and where is the real geopolitical power center? It's not necessarily in the White House or Congress, I'll tell you that.
All right. Scott from Loveland, Colorado says, hey, Art, don't forget, extraordinary claims, and this is certainly one of them, require extraordinary evidence. Your guest, you doctor, is giving unsubstantiated evidence by saying so-called names and media cover-ups. Now, you, in fact, quoted three separate sources inside the SETI program. This is such a news of such magnitude, and I certainly have, what's the right word, compassion for those who don't want their careers ruined. But, I mean, this is such big news, Doctor, that are you sure you don't want to give the names?
No, I don't. And what I would like to see happen is more people who may have been involved with this who are not as high profile as these particular gentlemen who are extremely high profile, come forward and independently corroborate it. You know, that's what we did many years ago when we started calling for people who had been in military and intelligence operations to UFO and extraterrestrial events. And we started out with a few, and then we had a dozen, and then we had 40, and now we have almost 500. So, I see that this could perhaps happen on a smaller scale on this issue. And I don't believe that the SETI project alone is the only entity on the planet. I'm hinting now at some particularly well-funded, very secretive intelligence agencies, such as the NRO, that have monitored and received and picked up signals. So I would like to see people come forward confirming this from a diverse agencies, not just SETI, and would like to see this happen where they are named. And I'm not; it's not my position, quite frankly, to quote out these people.
Right.
It's not in my interest to do it. I don't behave that way. I will say that I stand by what I have said, and the reason I'm speaking about it now is because we have had not three people just in this one instance, but three separate instances since the 90s where this information has been confirmed to me. And so it's very hard for me to believe that those three independent and corroborating sources are making this up. And they're not the kind of people who would, quite frankly. These are
Marlo in Irvine, California says, Dr. Greer, I understand you have some information on the missing Apollo tapes. Can you update us on that situation? Is that true? Do you?
I have information on the Apollo mission. My uncle was the senior project engineer that built the lunar module. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
I think I was, yes.
Yeah. Well, we have known for a number of years that when we went to the moon, first of all, before we went to the moon with a manned mission, the lunar orbiter was imaging the moon, And we have, if you look at the DisclosureProject.org website in the testimony, we have witnesses who were at Langley Air Force Base in a very compartmented National Security Agency affiliated center there that was staffed, monitoring these images coming in and compartmentalizing the ones that showed extraterrestrial structures. So before we landed on the moon, we knew that there were going to be ET structures and probably ET craft around. So when we went there in 1969, there were, in fact, UFOs that were seen along with the Apollo mission and at the time of the landing. And I have people who have seen the footage, the actual footage of these ET craft on the crater and around the lunar module as it was landing. And so certainly there is missing footage, because I know people who have seen it in very classified briefings. And the what was shown to the American public was by no means the true story of the Apollo mission.
My God. Doctor, because of your credibility, I guess the following question is worth asking. Vicky in Sydney, Iowa asks, Dr. Greer, can you be sure that the three separate sources, and normally two separate sources would be more than enough for a major newspaper to go, you know, go to print with a story, three separate sources is not disinformation being fed to you to somehow discredit you?
Oh, yes, I'm sure it's not disinformation. Whether or not it can be used to discredit me, that may happen. But, again, for a NASA researcher to, unsolicited from me, to say that he was at the NASA Ames Research Center when this man winked at him and said, yes, we know we're already being visited. Years later, for this senior astronomer who was at one of the SETI facilities when a signal came in and saw how a curtain of secrecy fell, and he was ushered out of the facility. And then now for this other gentleman who would be a household name amongst people who follow SETI and follow this whole question of searching for extraterrestrial life, to say this, I find it incredible, quite frankly. And then separate from that, my conversation with this same man years earlier, when he acknowledged that if it was even known that he was having the conversation he was having with me personally, that it would end his career, notwithstanding his stature as a shining light of this whole SETI effort. So, no, I don't believe that this is disinformation at all.
Okay. RJ from San Bernardino, California, says, Art, it's not surprising that this story has not yet broken. I mean, look at what happened with the Phoenix Lights. Now, that one I can personally confirm, Doctor, because I was on the air the night the Phoenix Lights situation occurred. I took call after call after call after call. It was one wild night on radio, believe me.
I was there the thing when it happened. I don't know if you know that, Art.
I do know that. I took the calls.
I remember.
Yeah, but the point was, Doctor, that after it went on like crazy on my program, not a word in the mainstream press the next day, nor the next week, nor the next month. And 3 months later, it broke on the front page of just about everything at once.
Interesting.
Hell, it was on CNN, it was on Fox, it was on everybody's news program, all at the same time, 3 months later.
Yes, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. Well, how independent can all these media outlets be when you see that kind of pattern?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wonder if the same thing might occur.
To figure this out,
yeah. I wonder if the same thing might occur, Doctor, with regard to the story that apparently we're sort of breaking right now. I mean, it should have broken when you made the statement in Canada, but I mean, obviously, you're being heard well across two continents and beyond right now. So I wonder if a couple of weeks, a couple of months from now, there'll be sudden front page news.
Well, and I would like to see people come forward who can now corroborate what we're saying. For example.
Right. Right.
We have a Defense Intelligence Agency witness who saw images that were taken by satellite of ET craft, and these satellites were not pointing down at the old Soviet Union. They were pointing out into space. Others were pointed down towards the Earth, but were imaging enormous craft, and this man saw them. I would like to see more people who have been present when electronic signals, Signet as it were, as well as imaging of these objects has been captured by not just SETI, but by various compartmented operations within corporate and governmental sectors. We know they exist. We have witnesses who've seen them, and it would be very good to have more of that come forward. For example, what someone could come forward with if they possess it is the proof of this. For when we had one of our witnesses, John Callahan, who was the third highest ranking man at the FAA during the Reagan years, and people can see his testimony at disclosureproject.org. It's there for everyone to see. His name, rank, and serial number. This man actually had the digital images of this enormous spacecraft moving over Alaska following this Japan Airlines 747 cargo ship. And we have the digital printout, we have the pilot's report, we have the actual radar tapes. And people say, where's the smoking gun? I said, well, we have it. We need to get that kind of data from people sourced within these other types of organizations. And I'm making a specific call for that to happen.
All right. Let's go to motive for secret for just a moment. Terry in Idaho somewhere says, hey, Art, do you think the government's keeping all of this a secret, you know, the signals and whatever additional information they might have about alien contact? Is it all being kept secret because of religion, because it would destroy some people's faith?
I will tell you that a scientist at JPL told me that they had confirmed, and this is another important story, this is in my new book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, they had confirmed that there were ancient ET structures on Mars, and that if that information came out, that it would undermine not the belief in God at all, but in some of the orthodox beliefs that are within many of the world's religions, and that is one of the reasons. It isn't the only. I may not even be the main, but it is one of the reasons for the secrecy. And by the way, I would like to correct your listeners' comment. It isn't the government that we think about that's keeping the secret. 99.9% of the people, I can assure you, that you would meet with in the government of the United States of America in Washington, D.C., has no knowledge of this. And so when they say they don't know anything about it, they have plausible deniability, and they're speaking the truth. They really don't know.
I'm certain that's true, Doctor. But again, when you look at motives, or you try to figure out why whoever it is who is keeping the secret, or is keeping the secret, certainly religion, in my mind, has to be right at the front of the list. What other motives can you imagine for their not releasing this?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that it's a matter of connecting the dots. Once it is confirmed that we're having contact by extraterrestrial civilizations, it'll then come out that they have landed on terra firma. It'll then come out that we have studied their energy and propulsion systems, and then that science will come out. And when that comes out, we won't see the need at all for oil and gas and coal. And if you look at the kind of power center that's based around the energy and transportation sector and the transnational global oil interest and financial interest associated with those industries, they have enough reach to keep this secret. So I don't deny at all that there may be some of the motives are philosophical and religious. I think some of the motives clearly are geopolitical power and financial.
Economic, yeah.
Right.
Your latest book, Dr. Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, how long has that been out now?
Oh, just a couple months. I sent you a copy. I don't know if it got to you all the way over in the Philippines.
I don't think it's not made it yet.
Oh, somebody confiscated it. I made it and signed it to you and wrote you a little note.
Oh, no.
Anyway, hopefully, if you don't get it, let me know and I'll send you another one.
All right. Obviously, we need to do an entire program somewhere in the future here. So maybe you can cut away the time. What do you think?
Yes, we'll have to do that. And, you know, the reason I wrote this book, it's my memoir about my experiences. And it starts when I was very young, when I had a contact with an ET craft and ET beings. And it's my own story of, you know, how does a guy who's an emergency doctor and a physician involved in rather traditional science get so heavily involved in this issue? It's because I know this is all real and it is not something that is fictitious or in any way imaginary. And so I wanted to put out there where I'm coming from, what kind of experiences I had that led me to the conclusions I've reached.
All right. Well, what a bombshell tonight. Doctor, thank you for being on the program. And as I mentioned, in the future, the very near future, I hope we'll do an entire program together. But you really lit it up tonight, partner. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care, doctor. All right. Well, I fully expected Dr. Greer to sort of back away, if not entirely, at least to some degree, from the comments he made. But instead, he just dropped a bunker buster bomb on this audience. And if the mainstream press does not pick up on what... I'll tell you what, folks. Many of you have recordings of what happened tonight. For God's sakes, send them to the networks. If this story, because of his credibility, does not break nationwide, then I would say something is broken, as he suggested, in the press. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell.